The Hard Shoulder on News Talk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
After all the government announcements, late last night, when they were announcing the latest figures, they kind of snuck in at the end. And by the way, there's a change in the testing procedure. Those of you who have been going to your doctor and have a test booked, well, it ain't going to kind of work out like you thought. We're joined now by GP Matthew O'Toole. Matthew, first of all, just tell us about the revised testing arrangement from a GP's perspective. What have you been told?
Yeah, so I suppose, Ivan, there's been a kind of a change in the criteria as of late last night, as you said, around midnight last night, we were informed of these changes. So really, as of today, the criteria to get tested have become much, much more stricter. So up until yesterday, so from last Monday, the criteria was very broad. So basically, anyone who had a fever, cough or flu-like symptoms, any one of those symptoms, they met the criteria to be tested for COVID-19 and the GP referred them on. That has now completely changed. And as of this morning, the criteria has become much, much stricter. So basically the criteria as of now is anyone who has a fever and a symptom of a respiratory illness like a cough or shortness of breath, or an acute respiratory illness and has been in contact with someone with COVID-19, must then meet further criteria. So the other criteria that they must meet on top of that is they need to be in contact with the confirmed case or be a healthcare worker or have an underlying condition. So the criteria has become much, much stricter. And I think what's important for your listeners is that anyone who has not, who has been referred for testing, but who hasn't got an appointment, their referral no longer stands and they then must contact their GP again if they feel they need testing. So if they feel they meet the new criteria. So it's a significant change, Ivan.
Okay, so I rang my good friend Dr. Matthew last Wednesday and you had booked a test for me. I have got no word. Where stands my position in that queue? Is that null and void? Do I have to start from scratch again if I'm displaying symptoms of a cough and a temperature?
Yeah, so I suppose if you haven't got a text or if nobody has been in contact with you to give you an appointment, then that referral is null and void. So if you have, as I said, symptoms, so a cough and a fever, really what you need to do is get onto your GP again, who will have to reassess you and re-triage you. Now, the reality is at the moment that the majority of people that I'm seeing today or that I'm triaging over the phone do not meet the new criteria because they're much, much stricter. So the advice that we're giving everyone basically is if you have symptoms which could potentially be in keeping with COVID-19, so a fever and a cough, the first thing you need to do is follow the advice we've given everyone, which is immediately self-isolate from other people for 14 days and to contact your GP. And your GP then, as I said, will re-triage your case and will see whether you meet referral criteria for testing or not based on these new criteria.
And have you been told, based on less people will actually now be referred for testing, whether this will expedite? So you say, yeah, Ivan, you still meet the criteria now. I'm actually getting very concerned about you. You have a temperature. You have got, now you're not a contact tracer and you don't work in the health service. So I am pressing for you to get a test. How long might I have to wait?
Yeah. So suppose, I mean, the reality was as of Monday, we were seeing a wait of nearly 7 to 10 days to get testing. So, you know, we had over 40,000 people waiting to get tested. So the hope now is that now that the criteria has become stricter, that those who really need testing will be able to get it much quicker. So, as I said, the hope is now that they have essentially scrapped the waiting list and we're starting from scratch again, that people who need testing will get it quicker. So I suppose what we're seeing at the moment is a prioritization of people who need testing. And really what we're seeing is basically they're trying to make capacity meet the demand, because what we saw last week was there was a huge demand to get testing. And what we've now done is we're now really kind of going in line with other EU countries. So the criteria for testing was very broad last week.
But you see, when they announced that we need to go after the virus, WHO recommendations, hunt it down, and the more tests we did, the more information we'd have as to the level of it and the number of extra confirmed cases. I mean, someone has texted in, you know, the valid question of exactly what's going to happen in terms of the accuracy of the cases. Mary and Talla text in, my brother was in Cheltenham. He has the virus 4 days now. He's a temperature, he's a cough, he's flu symptoms. I paid the doctor €30 to arrange a test, but he's now not on the list. He won't go for the test, and therefore the numbers aren't real. That's my point from this. Can we trust the numbers in the revised testing arrangements?
So there's been a distinct move or shift in government policy. So as you correctly pointed out last week, what we were hearing was test, 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 and that was what we were doing. So anyone that had really any flu-like symptoms were being tested. There's been a distinct shift in government policy really as of last night, whereby we're not now going down the road of test, test, test. We're really, I suppose, using our resources and using those resources for those who are most likely to have a positive result. So I think what we're going to see, Ivan, is a dramatic reduction in the number of tests that are being done. But my hope is that those who are, I suppose, those that are positive, we will continue to identify them based on the criteria that we have. I mean, we have to remember that 94% of the people that have been tested so far have been negative. So what I think we'll see is a dramatic reduction in the number of tests that we're doing, but that we will still continue to identify those that are positive, because, as I said, the criteria are narrower, so that we will continue to pick up those that are positive. That is my hope. But as I said, we'll only be able to answer that question in probably a week or 10 days' time.
Now, conversely, let me do a complete somersault on this. So I'm looking at the results of these surveys, and I find that 94% of those who thought they had the virus, got tested, were coming back, no, you don't have it, darling. In other words, they were what's now called the worried well. And I actually think, you know, hold on a second, should we be calling out people? And I know people, and, oh, I've got a temperature, and, oh, I'm not well. And instead of the kind of Churchillian carry-on business, the snowflakes all turn around, they get tested, and you know what? 19 out of 20 of them don't, you know, you have a 1 in 20 chance that you actually have the virus. So I'm giving you the flip side of the story, which is maybe people were abusing the system.
Ivan, I don't think they were. I think people were actually doing what they were told to do. So you have to remember that this time, this day last week, we were telling people, if you have a fever, if you have flu-like symptoms, if you have cough, then you do need to contact your GP, and your GP will organise a test. So actually what we saw was the people of Ireland were actually doing what they were told. Now what's happened is, and you know, I get it. I mean, we're getting a lot of calls into our surgery. People are confused because now we're giving them different advice, and we're saying, you know, the likelihood is you probably won't get tested because the criteria have got much stricter. But I think we saw huge numbers of people contacting GPs last week, and they did that because, in essence, they were told if they had any symptoms, they were to contact the GP. So I think people were just doing what they were told to do.
All right. Finally, Matthew, and I look forward to talking to you again tonight on telly. The sneaky thing, which I think is just wrong. So doctors like you, who are general practitioners and in the medical card scheme, it's called the GMS, the General Medical Services. And within that, they have a superannuation plan, as a lot of public servants do. Yeah. They've now received a letter to say that the lump sum that they would have got for their next of kin should they die in service will now not be payable if you die of COVID-19. Is that true?
So Ivan, I nearly fell off my chair this morning when I heard this. I actually thought it was a joke, but it's unfortunately not. So the GPs were informed of that this morning. We got a letter quoting exactly what you've just said back. And the reason they said is because the COVID-19 is an act of God, and therefore, if a GP is to die, that, you know, there will not be a
payout.
Well,
what an effing kick in the groin that is to the medical profession.
Well, I mean, look, Ivan, GPs, as every single healthcare and frontline worker, have been putting their shoulder to the wheel for the last week. And I can tell you, it was a serious kick in the stomach for every GP in the morning to read that. To be honest, I think it's appalling. And I can't still find words for it. I'm so shocked and angered by it. But my understanding is that the Irish Medical Organisation, which is the union that represents GPs, is on top of this and is going to seek further clarification. Because, as I said, it's really not something you need to hear. I mean, GPs have been at the front line of this since the beginning, and it was just a serious kick in the teeth. And as I said, I'm still reeling over it, to be honest. No, it's just unbelievable.
It's actually it's actually abhorrently nasty insofar as people are being asked to risk their lives. They may not have proper personal protective equipment, PPE, and they're asked to carry on regardless. They're being hailed from the podium in government press centre as national heroes wearing capes and all the rest of it. And they're told, oh, by the way, if you die, you're not covered. Your next of kin won't get a lump sum. It's sickening. I mean, Minister Harris, are you listening? I mean, this is shameful, whoever sent that letter out. Well, look, Matthew, thank you very much for clarifying the situation on testing and confirming that this odious circular has been sent out to doctors.